Here's a little ditty about a cat. It's a black cat who loves mystery and astrology like you and me. It's black cats and the zodiac.
Howdy. Welcome to another riveting episode of Black Cats and the Zodiac. Oh, I put a hat on. Where am I? I'm at home. Welcome to another amazingly great episode of Black Cats and the Zodiac. I need to find a pen. So I apologize for the last couple of weeks. I have not been posting, obviously. As you've probably noticed, if you're following me on my Instagram, my TikTok, or my Facebook, I fell out of it because my car was stolen, and I didn't realize it was affecting me more than it was because, like, I don't know, it was my car, and that was my little peaceful little spot, and so I hadn't really been sleeping. I just took, like, a NyQuil to go to sleep, like, not last night, but the night before last night, and that's when I realized that I really hadn't been sleeping. That's when I need to, like, just feel the anxiety and the fear and all of that. So I'm trying to, like, get past this, because I guess it would be traumatic a little bit. My family didn't bring me out of California for me to live somewhere where my car gets stolen. So this is, we're moving not as soon as possible because we're broke, but as soon as we're able to again, we're going to be moving, because this is crazy. Where am I going with this? So I have been searching for cars. I had to wait for my insurance, like, go through the whole thing, send them my title, because I own my vehicle, which is a great thing to do. And then they sent me them, like, they cash out, like, luckily my car, like, had aftermarket parts. And so I didn't know that. So I got more than I had anticipated. So I'm purchasing one of my dream cars. So that should be great. Like, one door opens another, or one door closes, another one opens. So that's a little bit of me. So that's been fucking cool because, you know, yeah. Where am I? Oh, so, but, like, in the process, Taylor Swift released her new album. That was super sad. It was good. It had some bangers, but it was super sad kind of just, like, throughout. And I realized that I've done a lot of healing within me, that it wasn't as painful of an experience as I had thought it was going to be. So that's actually pretty cool. And now when I think about kind of like those themes, I tell myself I don't live there anymore, like, because it just feels uncomfortable. It's like an intruder coming to your house, just knock, knock, knocking, and you're like, who are you? Are you here? And they're like, hey, man, we used to hang out. And you're like, yeah, but you don't live here anymore, and you're not welcome here anymore, and you've just moved on past. I've been to a concert. It was the fucking Steel Panthers, and that was a lot better than I ever anticipated. I didn't listen to any songs prior. It was my friend's birthday, kind of a thing, and I was able to tag along because she's nice and great. And so I went to that, and that was fucking cool. Then I rented a car. See, because now I'm on the fence. I'm like, if I didn't have to absolutely own a vehicle, which I kind of still don't really have to absolutely own a vehicle, I could just kind of transfer my insurance, the things I need in my insurance, to my driver's license, and then proceed and just rent cars when I want to drive places that are far away. And it doesn't sound like a bad idea. It seems very, actually, super cool and casual kind of an endeavor. I just don't know. And I feel like I'd rather have a vehicle just because, like, you know, credit-wise, it'd be good to build it. But, yeah, so I rented a car. And I drove down to Astoria for the Seafood and Wine Festival, and that was super fun. I was a cutie patootie, And I got a lot of phone numbers, and old men were flirting with me, and like, I'm just drinking, and I was having conversation, and so, yeah, no, it was fun. It was super great. And then I got back, I dropped off my vehicle, I rented it through Turo. It's a different app. It's like real people are renting out their vehicles for you to use, so it's like so much cheaper. And as long as you take care of it, clean it, fill it back up, you're set, and it's affordable. So like, I recommend it. Not a paid sponsorship, but I recommend it. So I have been sitting on an idea, and I wanted to like get it all down for you guys, as you know, because it's a podcast episode. But a weird thing happened. I started working. Well, every time I had been trying to start working on it, I would get like so tired, like just unbelievably, like I have to go to sleep right now, just fucking drained. And so I had to call back my energy and, you know, block people who are negative, sending me negativity. I had to like send that back to them. You know, witchy business. And then I've been a little bit more clear. I think that's why I took that NyQuil, because I couldn't fucking sleep. So I've been feeling better. Today was just, the vibes were off, but I found out like way the day, well, I don't know, because usually on these kinds of days where I'm just fired up, everything's fine and dandy, but the vibes were so off today. It was kind of weird. Like, just things were happening that didn't make any fucking sense. Like, I put up the correct thing, I go and do something else, and I'm in a procedure, and then like I don't have what I had out, and I'm like, what happened? My cat Xander's wants like little fucking butt pats, and so I'm just scratching him. But yeah, it was just, the vibes were off today. And then I found out later on, Mars and Mercury are in Aries, and usually when like those planets, specifically Mars, is in a fire sign, it trines my Sagittarius Mars and Mercury, and so I feel much more feistier, but like that is not necessarily mean that I'm going to be fucking up all day. But I was fucking up all day, and I didn't appreciate it. So I can only assume that that's just a shadow period kind of a thing, because Mercury just kind of went direct on the 25th of April. So there, that's that on that. It's May. The astrology girlies that are more astrology savvy than me, because I just haven't looked into it, they are saying that this is supposed to be the luckiest month of the year, because Venus moved into Taurus, and that's exalted, Venus is ruled by Taurus and Libra, but kind of exalted in Taurus there. So, yeah, just a lot of prosperity, abundance, financial gains, and so I find it interesting because Taurus is my third house, and so we'll see. That's communication, short distance travel, vehicles. So I made a TikTok about when my car was stolen, and it was like Mercury retrograde in Aries in my second house. Here we are, and the car stolen. That's like the second house is like assets, security, and finances. And so to go to Venus and Taurus, that's how you're going to be receiving, because it's my third house is in my bottom half of my chart, you know, obviously. And so the bottom half is your inner world. So that's how you personally are going to be receiving. That's you. So with it there, I'll be receiving a vehicle that's going to be great. So I'm not going to be that concerned about it. It's a little stressful. A lot stressful. Because I don't know, you know, the uncertainty of the unknown in the future is always there. And it can be a little stressy, but it's golden, it's good, it's groovy, it's being taken care of. So, yeah. So my idea for this episode was going to be, I was going to do a chart of someone that I know and or know of, or I guess past tense new at this point. Because I was watching some TikToks, and this TikTok, this creator was telling us, the viewer, about certain placements in an astrology chart that just, like, gives her the ick, or, like, kind of warns her, or kind of just scares her off. And she listed some points that I have seen other people's charts that I was like, not to be, like, concerned about, but, like, kind of just be like, oh, interesting. Because, like, you know, as a baby astrologer, and I don't like to, like, go into people's, like, business unless I have to go into people's business, you know what I mean? So, like, I don't enjoy normally learning people's backstory, because, like, I'm like, okay, whatever they did before, sometimes, you know, that's just kind of, like, who they have were at that point. And usually people grow and they become better. So I kind of try to take them at face value, because, like, if I learn you did something dumb, I end up judging you for it, and I just can't unsee you doing dumb shit. So, knowing that about me, I rather, like, meet you at, like, who you are now, and then evaluate if you're good or great, and actually get to know you. And then, like, learn something crazy down the road and be like, oh, you did that? And then, like, have a conversation about it. And, like, because, like, now that I know who you are, it's different than, like, what you were. If you're following me. Going back to the lady, she's like, yeah, if they have, like, a Taurus Mars or Leo Venus, it was like a sextile, or no, it was a semi-square between the moon, or like an op of some sort. And I know, sorry, it's been a little bit, and I know the person had those placements, and I was like, oh, and so I was going to go into it, like, this episode with that chart, but it was a chart that always made me, like, super sleepy when I was trying to, like, start. So I was like, maybe that's the thing. So then I changed direction. I was like, I'll just do it on my own stuff, because, you know, I was thinking maybe it was, like, intuition, and maybe it's like, don't do that, because what if something happens? Because, like, I feel like sometimes when you speak on someone, or you speak to them or something, you, like, kind of do something, like, quote-unquote magical or whatever, that you never know what kind of, like, ancestral wishy-washy or, like, stuff that's, like, goes on to them. And just knowing a lot of just, like, this person and just the things I've kind of witnessed, I suppose, and heard of, it's kind of like a better not. Even if it is just a chat over a chart. So it wasn't even going to be like a face-to-face chat. It was just like me talking about the chart. And because, like, I just know where it would have gone. Like, within the first house, I noticed, so there's, like, this comet that's kind of, like, not necessarily followed all the time. It's, a Nasu, and it's, like, this comet that kind of indicates, like, an abusive pattern, or an abuse that that a chart holder could possibly have. Mine happens to be in the 8th, and then this other person's was in the 1st house. And they looked it up, and some of the things that they had mentioned happened to them in their past made, like, complete sense. And then just, like, knowing that person and, like, some other characteristics that were mentioned, and just made complete sense. And I was like, interesting. Very interesting. So I was like, yeah, it's a no for me, dog. I'm not going to go into it and then like get some bullshit or something, because you never know. I don't know who listens and who doesn't. I always surprised are the people who come to me and they're like, oh, I listened to your episode, blah 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 blah, and like I'm always thankful because it's awesome. But you never know, and I've learned better, and you need to do better when you learn better. So I'm doing better, especially about like other people who would like me to go over their chart or read cards for them, and they aren't crazy. Not say this person's crazy, I don't fucking know. It's in the chart. But yeah, so that's where I'm at. So I'm just gonna go over, cause like, you know, I'm now astrology certified. And astrology certified in astrology. Even though like, you know, it's like, I feel like the certification is just kind of like a beginning, cause now I can like practice more frequently instead of just be like a fun little like fucking thing. I get to take it more seriously. I get to take myself more seriously. I know it sounds kind of crazy and kind of funny and kind of weird, but that's kind of where I'm seeing it. So yeah, so I will go over just like the chart, just like how to read a chart, like, because like not everyone knows how. And it's, you like, you look at it and just a fucking bunch of like fucking a circle and like a bunch of fucking squiggles on it and like little numbers and like fucking blue and red and all this bullshit, and you're like, what is this? And then like you look down and it has like a pyramid looking thing with like fucking more symbols and squares and little stars and shit like that, and you're like, this is a lot, what's going on here? And like I'm just learning, but I can enlighten you a little bit more. Oh my god, I will enlighten you a little more, and then like kind of go into like my chart a little bit maybe. So yeah, so the way I would approach a chart. Oh, I gotta tear this page out. Tore out. Yeah, there. Venus return. Oh, this is my notes for my Venus return. See? I don't know. Maybe it's just this day, the time of day. So first thing you need to know, like when you want to look at a chart, like I guess what I would want to do instead is kind of just plot the chart. So I'll teach you, show you. Well, I guess when you look at a chart, because like it's usually already done. Ouch. My back. Okay. So there are four quadrants in the chart. So and then there's a north and a south, east and a west. So the first quadrant is below the horizon line. So the way it goes, the way the chart's divided, is there's an ascendant line, and then on the other side, the descendant line. The ascendant-descendant line is the horizon line, as they call it. And it's basically, it separates the chart into, like, day and night. For example, like, if you're born during the day, you have a day chart. Not necessarily, but if you're born during the night, you... Well, let me think. What's the best way to do it? Okay, so houses 1 through 6, that is the north hemisphere of the chart. Houses 7 through 12, that is the southern hemisphere of the chart. And that means everything on the southern hemisphere is what was kind of peaking in the sky when you were born. Everything in the northern hemisphere is everything that was hidden beneath when you were born. For example, we have your midheaven, the highest part of your chart, in the southern hemisphere because it was directly above when you were born, and therefore this is your birth chart. So then we have the sun rises in the east, so that's where the first house starts in the east. Or sorry, starts on the fucking, what is it? The left there. East is left. I know it doesn't make any sense because I get directionally challenged all the fucking time. But, and then you read the chart counterclockwise as well. So it's kind of a fun thing. We have the IC, which is the immunocolon, the lowest part of your chart, and the northern hemisphere. Are you following me? Hopefully. They're like, finally, this girl's actually teaching us shit. She just talks about her life. It's fine. Then that kind of shows, like, I read somewhere that depending on where you have the most planets clustered, if it's like the south or the northern hemispheres, you have more freedom or less freedom in this lifetime. There's a lot of like past life things that occur within a birth chart as well. I kind of really want to get into that because that's kind of where I'm drawn most. Because I feel like there's a lot of things that happen in this life that just feels like a reoccurring themes. And once you kind of bypass it and like get over it and like learn the lesson and like get it so that you don't entertain it anymore, that's when you're able to ascend. So it's really interesting what kind of a map the birth chart can be. I'm feeling so passionate about this. Oh my God. But yeah, so that's the southern and the northern hemispheres. So for me personally, I know that I have a lot of planets in the southern hemisphere, and it's taken me a while to figure that out, that I have so much freedom in this life, and I really wish that I would have figured that out sooner, because I would probably be doing some crazy cool stuff. But I'm giving myself the freedom now. And so my 30s have just been a really interesting place, because it seems like the closer I want to be to other people, the more harmful it has been to my freedom, which is very interesting. Maybe I just picked the wrong people, or maybe, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just the limiting of myself that I do. But it's been helping me understand me. And now, like, that I've made the decision to just kind of, like, just go out and adventure and have fun and don't take things seriously, life's been kind of opening up a little bit. Or at least I feel different about it. And then it's that whole thing that happens after your Saturn return, usually, where you kind of find the calling of the North Node more, and you kind of end up following that. At least that's what they were kind of saying in my class I took. Going back to the Eastern and Western hemispheres now, because the Eastern hemisphere is going to be from the 10th house to the 3rd house. The Western hemisphere is from the 4th house to the 9th house. So with the Eastern hemisphere, those are your people who are going to be... let me look at my notes. I'm gonna keep the faith because it was actually really super duper interesting there. Oakland House, Seska Squares. Sorry. Okay, here we go. Okay. So they're like generally like self-motivated people. They initiate the things that they want in their life, they'll go after it, and then they value like their independence, their self, which makes sense because when you think about it, the 10th house is careers. That's literally you and your public perception how you're being seen by everyone. In order to kind of control that narrative, you have to kind of go out there. You have to, like, put yourself out there. You have to kind of, like, be an independent, independent person. And you have to be able to, like, deal with all that self-imagery that is projected upon you. You know what I mean? And then, like, the 11th house is there, and that's your social circle. That's friends, clubs. Sorry, excuse me. And then, interestingly enough, the 12th house is your unconscious, but it's also your psychic ability. And it's going to be your life theme, is what I want to say. Because the opposing to the 12th is the 6th. And the 6th house is your daily routines. And so the 12th house has to be your long-running games, your cons. if that makes sense. First house, how people see you. Second house, your security, your finances, things that matter to you. Third house, communication styles. And just kind of how you personally like to communicate. Finances, how we personally kind of go after money. Your personal gains. So that's why it's like that. That's why the East is your personality of, like, an independent person. Then they've got to the West, and that's, like I said, houses 4 through 9, and those people kind of gravitate towards more teamwork kind of establishments or teamwork kind of activities. It says that, like, you kind of lose a sense of yourself. It's like the group, what's best for the group instead of what's best for the individual. Which makes me think of America. I haven't seen America's, like, birth chart, because, like, when some people made a chart of when America was established. And because we have such an individualistic kind of viewpoint of the world, I wonder where all those planets are clustered. No. Anyway. Or, yeah. And, these personality traits, quote unquote, are all kind of interdependent upon the, placements of those planets in your chart. Back to the West. And it's driven by, like, a consensus. Like, it's very encouraging kind of nature. These people who have these planets there. And their 4 through 9 houses clustered. Nourishing. They wait for support or input from others before acting. So it's very dependent rather than being independent. And then if you have your planets in the northern hemisphere, again, that's houses 1 through 6. You could be seen as a private person, so you're introverted. I put sub of others. So you're kind of like, you'll put others above yourself. Kind of just serving, like, of a person. You focus on, like, the internalized self, rules, boundaries. People who are uncomfortable with prying questions. This makes more sense to me because of, like, the people I've hung around, because they had a cluster of fucking shit in their 4th house, and they weren't very great at answering fucking questions. I'll tell you what. it just makes sense. Oh my god, my eyeball. And then unwelcomed touch, which is an interesting one there, because they were kind of started off being touchy-feely and then they kind of just stop. But, like, that's, I guess, unwelcomed the longer you kind of do it or hang out. Because people kind of just kind of revert back to who they are. They put on a good show for a while and they kind of just revert back to, like, who they are. Because, like, I don't necessarily like to be touched either. But if I know that someone likes, like, their love language is, like, physical touch, I'll try to do my best to, like, make sure, like, we're in constant touch of each other. Like, I'll just, like, it's like the picture, like, the hot bed and then, like, that couple sleeping, but, like, they have, like, their feet touching each other or something like that. I don't know. I try. And the people in this, going back to the Northern Hemisphere, their people are, like, on a journey to discover their own voice and push their comfort levels, their own personal comfort zone. So, I wanted to say something, but it's the I just thought about it. It's more of a North Node, South Node kind of a thing, but I've, like, covered that before, so I'll just say it again later. But moving into the Southern Hemisphere, which is, you know, the houses 7 through 12. And these people are, like, more outgoing. They're energized by the company of others. They're driven by praise and accolades of others. These are your public fucking people. Like, politicians, I want to say, actors, celebrities, likes it, because those are your public houses. And then, so these kind of are, like, the general personalities. So when you're looking at a chart, you're plotting everything, you see it. You're going to want to first take note of, like, where the planets are clustered, or if they're in the Northern Hemisphere or the Southern Hemisphere. Because if they're in the Northern Hemisphere, just recapping real quick, in the Northern Hemisphere, they have less freedom in this life. If they're in the Southern Hemisphere, they have more freedom in this life. If they have their planets in the fucking Eastern, they're going to be more independently driven. Western, they're going to be more teamwork driven. Northern, they're going to be more secretive and private. Southern, they're going to be more public. Got it? Get it? Good. All right, and then we're moving on to the quadrants. You guys are like, oh shit, this bitch is Siri. So this is, I guess, is astrology 101.2. And this is just my deeper knowledge, and I'm just letting you guys know all the things. Alrighty. So, actually, that's probably what we call it. Astrology 101.2. So then I'm going to do the quadrants now. And so the first quadrant is the houses 1 through 3. And that's going to be yourself, your materialism, your communication. People who, like, take life by the horns, make it their bitch, basically. And they're driven by their desires, not afraid to, like, get what they want. Often struggle to see the points of views of others, though. Because it's just very me-focused. It's very selfish. Because those houses are, let me think, the first house is the house of self. Second house, the house of your own financial gains. Third house, and materialism, I suppose, yeah. And then your third house is how your communication style is. It's very you-focused and you-based. And these are things that kind of are the things that start a fire in you personally. You're thinking about what's best for me. What do I want out of the situation? How can I get it? That's very second house. Second house in Aries is how I'm thinking about it. But even if just a general birth chart without knowing, like, a actual rising, like, say it's Aries rising, we're starting with Aries. Aries house of self, that's the I am. Taurus, I have. Gemini, the third house. I think. I feel like it's going to be, like, more of I say. Mm-hmm. Or I want. Maybe. I'll have to think about that for a little bit. Okay. And then moving on to the second houses. Cool. Sorry, I was just reading. So then the second quadrant is houses 4 through 6. The fourth house, the house of home. Fifth house, creativity. Sixth house, daily routines. And this, people who have like most of their planets clustered into the fourth through sixth houses, the second quadrant, they are the kind of people who shapes their surroundings and the world around them. And they are creators who work with the energy around them. And they are usually in service to others because of the sixth house. It's service to others, it's routines, it's work, your work life. Yeah, it's not, these are good people. You know, these are good people. Usually they're pretty nice. I'm not saying that the first quadrant people aren't great, but like, these are usually really nice people. Just going off of the people I know, because like their plans were all mostly in the fourth house. Yeah, actually, it's interesting. See, like, I like that I'm going back to it and learning more and more now. So then moving on to the third quadrant, houses 7 through 9. Seventh house is relationships. Eighth house is like the occult, basically. It's also like, it's also another finance house. It's other people's money that are coming to you. And then the ninth house is higher learning, things like that. And so this house is like the partnerships, quadrant. It goes over ideas, philosophies of others are a driving force for them. They're learners. They may rely on codependence or cunning in order to get what they want because of like that kind of manipulative eighth house energy, because it's run by Scorpio, and Scorpio is a little bit manipulative, let's be honest. And the relationship aspect of it, so it's like, how can I get what I want? And Libra's the traditional ruler of the seventh house, and they are the balance scales, and they're very charming, very charismatic. They know how to work their way into situations to kind of help themselves gain in order to get what they want. Sensitive to opinions of others because they want to be seen as... Why am I so mean? Why am I so cynical? Sensitive to opinions of others. Readiness to accommodate others makes them lose themselves. Okay, so they kind of give up their sense of self. It's the opposite of the... I suppose it would be the opposite of the first quadrant there. Whereas they're very kind of... can be very selfish. And how can I get this for myself? The third quadrant people are more so, they'll lose themselves in the pursuit of making someone else happy. They're the people pleasers as well. Manipulative people pleasers. Yikes. That sounds crazy. I'm over here. Second house, or second quadrant people, they're really nice people. Goodness. And then we're going to go down to the fourth quadrant people, and that's houses 10 through 12. And that just rules public attention, institutes trending social medias, and that just attracts power. They're impossible to ignore. They get what they want because people see them as someone deserving to get what they want, if that makes sense. I think we know some of those people. They just kind of like do their thing, and people are like, oh yeah, of course you have all of this because you do all these other cool things. And they're just like, yes, I do. Give me your things. So those are the hemispheres and the quadrants. And so when you are looking at a birth chart, you're going to want to take note of where these planets kind of sit, because you're going to have some of that like hemispheric energy or quadrant energy. For example, I'll use myself. I have a lot of my planets in the 10th, 11th, and 12th houses. I have my Jupiter in the 7th, and I have my moon in the 5th. So I deserve all of the public attention. So like, I am holding myself back from being like amazingly famous. I get it, I get it, I get it. It's okay, I'm working on it. But I also can be creative with my moon in the fifth house, but that's also your house of romance. So, like, you know, I've got to pick and choose over there. And right now, so with my so that's what second quadrant energy, and what I say, those are creators who work with the energy around them. So I'm trying to work with the energy around me to kind of like just stay motivated, to stay focused, to create the things I want to create for myself. My public image. I do have a Jupiter in the seventh house, and I do end up losing a lot of myself in service to others and relationships, which is why I'm trying to not do that anymore, because that Jupiter placement can be better utilized by me using my Sagittarius, Mercury, Mars, MC energy. I'm just putting myself out there and being silly. I thought of quite a few silly TikToks today that I did not do, and I should have done them. But like the situation's passed now, and I'm not really certain if I want to record myself at work being silly. Or is it just in the bathroom? I just don't want people to know where I work. You know? It's an easy thing to Google, I'm sure, but I'm not going to willingly putting that information out there. I'm saying that specifically to people who are good at Googling. Because, like, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Crazy. So yeah, those are the quadrants, and those are the hemispheres. So then after those, you need to locate the big three. Is this too much information? It's only 42 minutes. I'll say this much. Good luck. I thought it was on Friday.
No, it's right now.
Have so much fun. Right, you look bye. So cute.
Thank you.
Bye. Oh, sorry. One of my roommates going on a date. She's going to be so good. She's going to fucking be so good. I'm so excited for her. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yes, girl. Yes. Fucking get it. She's just fucking great, dudes. Oh, my God. She's just fucking great. Okay. Yeah, so the first house, or sorry, not the first house. So after you get the hemispheres kind of jotted down in that information, and then the quadrants kind of jotted down in that information, kind of like feel out who your person may or may not be. I wanted to say you're going to want to find the rising, the moon, the sun, but I think it'd be more pertinent if you found where the north and south nodes lie. Because the south node is going to be like their past shit, the things that they are going to be most comfortable with doing, with the kind of like the fucking pieces of themselves that they're more comfortable with showing off. The north node is going to be what they need to strive for in this life. Do you hear me? Because that is the goal. So whatever they need to do, they need to try to see, they need to strive to be better, and then that's going to help them find that fulfillment. And then you're going to find the rising, so you can find the descendant. Then you're going to want to find the sun, so you can find the core. The moon, so you can find the emotional well-being. And then you're also going to want to find the immune cologne, the icy, the lowest point in the chart, and then the highest point in the chart, the MC, the midheaven. And that will like kind of like, and then compare just those three together and kind of see the direction of kind of like the skeleton, like the hemispheres and the quadrants are the outline of the body. The sun, moon, rising, north and south, MC, IC, AC, DC are the skeleton. Everything else, that's the fucking meat. All right, we're making pasta. That makes sense. But yeah, once those things are fucking found and charted, then you kind of have more of a general idea. of where you want or what this person could be about. And then you're going to find the Mercury and Mars, Venus, fill out their inner planets and see where those are and where they're plotted. And then you're going to find the generational planets. That's your Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. And then if you're really into it, you can get those asteroids done. That's your Chiron, Ceres, Pallas, Juno, Vesta. And then you could do, if you wanted to really kind of do it, you could go into the Nasu, whatever thing, and plot that and see where they could have challenges because of where they were abused in their life. Because you have to heal that in order to fucking do anything. And sure, we've got Chiron, and that's the wounded healer, but like, that's just how you're able to heal yourself through helping others. This is the other thing, is actual trauma that's happened to you that could be a hindrance to and holding you back from actually being able to care for other people in the proper way, in a healthy way. So it's important to kind of have those charted and plotted and deciphered before you even know what the fucking houses are, you know? So yeah. I got so passionate. Cool. So then I will go ahead and I'll do my chart. And then I'll get back to you this weekend. Alright? I love you. Thank you for listening. Fucking have a fantastic night.